I was sitting on a plane, as I am commonly finding myself, and I was heading to Africa just a few really weeks ago, and the Lord spoke to me so clearly. I wasn't praying about the new year, though you get a lot of time to think when you're sitting on a plane for as many hours as it takes to get to Africa from U.S., but the Lord spoke to me this very clear word, like almost audible, very clear, and it was very simple. It was this: 2018 will be a pivotal year. Pivotal. That word just was like in bold caps, as one could have it auditorily speaking. It was so intense, pivotal year. And then the Lord spoke again, and he said something that really touched me. He said, you will see the desires of your heart come to pass. And I was like, wow, that's a big word, because for us, so many of us, we have many desires in our hearts, but I'm going to address that in a little bit. But I want to start out by simply talking about pivotal. What is pivotal? What does the word pivotal mean? And this is the definition that the Lord highlighted to me, and it applies to this year so much. Listen to this. Pivotal, of crucial importance in relation to the development or success of something else. Of crucial importance in relation to the development or success of something else. This year is going to be a pivotal year. It's going to be crucial in the development of the things that your heart has desired, of the things God has placed in your heart, to the success of the thing God desires for you to do and to be and to walk in. And I feel it's so critical that this is a word for the body of Christ, that God is going to do something pivotal this year. And you know, when someone or something pivots, it makes a turn. And that turn puts the person or the thing in a different direction, facing a different direction. And I feel like the Lord has just so clearly spoken to me about this year being a year that we, as the body of Christ, as those who follow God, are going to take a turn. We're going to head in a new and different direction, and it's going to be good. You know, a lot of times change is something people don't like embrace, or they're not excited about. They like things to stay as it is in certain ways, although most of us would say, no, I want change in this area of my life or that. But all I can say to you is 2018 will be a pivotal year, and change is coming. If you look back on your life, think about this for a moment. If you look back on your life, no matter how old you are, without a doubt, you can come up with some pivotal moments or pivotal years that have taken place for you. And it qualifies as pivotal if from that time forward, you changed directions. Things went in a different direction for you completely. And that, you know, for some people, it was when they moved away from home to go to college, or they took a job in a new city. Things, it was a big pivot, and it changed everything. Maybe you met new people. Maybe God connected you with people he wanted you to be connected with. Something happened that completely changed your life from that point forward. Pivotal, we all have pivotal moments in our lives. Some of them are financial pivots, when suddenly success began to come or your finances began to change. Some of it's health related, and suddenly you decided, okay, I'm going to start investing in my own health, and you lost a lot of weight and moved on in a different way. I mean, certain things that were so pivotal, you can look back and go, yeah, things changed from that time onward. For other people, it's spiritual things we can look back. I know for myself, when I got born again, it changed everything. My attitude, my focus, my direction, where I was headed, everything changed. It was so pivotal for me when I got born again. When I got married, that was a pivotal change. Everything changed in my life, moving in a different direction, moving with someone else, going together in a certain way. That was very pivotal for me. And then another pivotal change for myself is I can look back now to the year 2003, and it was the first time I ever went to Africa. And when I went to Africa in February of 2003, it was a pivotal moment for me because God did something very supernatural in my heart, and he literally changed my direction. I was completely focused at that point on doing radio ministry. That's what I was pouring my heart into. And it was like the Lord himself dropped me somewhere and turned me. And I was now facing in a different direction. And those of you who have known me all these years, you've seen what God has done in those years that have passed since then, 14 years. And now I've completely dropped the radio ministry and moved into the missions area in such a full way, although the Lord's bringing things back around as he does sometimes. But all of us can look back and say, this was a pivotal moment. That was a pivotal moment. That was a pivotal year. But I'm telling you from the Holy Ghost, this year, for the body of Christ, those who are trusting in God, there are pivotal things that are going to happen for us. God himself said it. And the thing that really struck me was that he said, you are going to see the desires of your heart come to pass. And I thought, that's such a big word. But you know, if you look at Psalm 37 verse 4, which is where that specifically, that word comes from, let me read you the first part of that verse. Very interesting. Psalm 37 verse 4 says, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. You know, as a young believer, I always thought, oh, God's going to give me the desires of my heart, like what I want. And a lot of people take that verse in that way, like, oh, I want this or I want that. God's going to give me that because that's my desire. But if you read it again and again, I believe the more proper way of receiving that word is when you delight yourself in God, he gives you desires. He puts desires into your heart that were not your desires before. Now they're your desires because he put them in there. And when he says, I am going to give you the desires of your heart, he's saying, I put desires in you and now I'm going to bring them to pass. It's the time. That is so profound for me. I hope you can receive it in the same heart that I believe the Lord spoke it, that he has put desires in you, in all of us. Things we have prayed for, things we have longed for, things we have cried out for years. You have people in your life, you have cried out for their salvation. It's a pivotal year. There are things God has told you he wants you to do and he's going to allow you to do. It's a pivotal year. And I believe the Lord is bringing to pass something we have not seen, and that in a sense, time is speeding up. We like to say it seems time's flying, but I'm telling you, there's an intensity happening in the spirit because we are nearing the end of days. God knows how long that will be. But as we plummet toward that end time, I'm telling you, there's more things happening. We've seen just in the last 100 years how many advancements just in technology, which I believe God intended to happen, that his word might go to the ends of the earth, that all might have the opportunity to hear the gospel and have the opportunity to be saved. That would have never happened if we were still back in horse and buggy days. The truth is now the word of God can go to the ends of the earth in a nanosecond. It's amazing. And so he's doing things, you could say, speeding up what is happening in the earth. This is a pivotal year in all of that. And he's going to give us the desires of our hearts that he himself has placed there. And I'm telling you, you're going to rejoice to see what he's going to do. It encouraged me tremendously. It encouraged me tremendously. Now, I know that some intense changes are going to be coming in 2018. Change. Think about that. Change. Change. Some people resist change very strongly because they're in a groove or they're in a pattern. They're in a, okay, I'm comfortable. I've got it down now. I know what I'm doing. No, change is coming. You have to embrace that because it's God doing it. Change is coming. And the Lord gave me a few things that he said are keys to help us benefit from the pivotal year of 2018. And these are important for all of us to be able to embrace what God's going to do and to be able to take hold of what he wants for you this year. The first one is, don't fear or hide from the coming changes. When you feel the change coming, don't resist. Okay, I don't like that. I'm comfortable right here. No, don't resist or hide from or run from change that may be coming. And when change starts to happen, don't allow the enemy to give you fear over it. Say, hey, change is coming. God already forewarned me, and I am coming into agreement with whatever God wants to do. You need to have that position. Changes are inevitable in a pivotal season. That is, if you're going to pivot, you're going to change direction. You're going to change direction. So you cannot avoid this. It's critical you don't try to avoid it or run from it. If you do, guaranteed you'll miss the blessing God fully intended for you. You will miss it. That is not God's plan, but it can happen because he gives us a free will. Let's not miss it. And I thought of this character that in the Bible, not a super familiar character, but one that really could have missed an incredible change in his life had he let fear overtake him. Listen to this story. It's amazing to me. The Lord showed this to me as this example of this. Do you remember someone named Mephibosheth? Mephibosheth was the son of Jonathan, who was David's friend, who is the son of King Saul. And if you will evaluate his biographical information that you can find in the second book of Samuel, you can, chapter 4, you get some pieces about his life. You could, I'm sure, assess with me, evaluate, that there were probably two pivotal years in his life that if you interviewed him, he would agree with this. First pivotal year, he was 5 years old. King Saul and Jonathan were killed in battle. His nursemaid, who was caring for him, when she heard the news that Saul, King Saul and Jonathan had both been killed in battle and the Israelite army had fled from their enemies, she flipped out, grabbed 5-year-old little Mephibosheth and tried to flee and tripped, fell, and dropped him. And as a result, his legs were injured. And from the 5 years old, he was lame in his legs the rest of his life. Now, you would say that was pivotal. It changed the direction of his life, for sure. Things changed for him. It was not a good change, but it was a change. But let's fast forward into his adulthood and see what pivotal thing happened that changed everything for him again. Mephibosheth was living as an adult in a town called Lodabar, which has an interesting meaning of its name. It means without pasture or without communication. So it sounds barren, it sounds fruitless, it sounds lonely, it sounds isolated. And I think that's a great picture for a whole lot of people's life right now. They feel lonely, they feel isolated, they feel fruitless. And that's exactly where Mephibosheth was living. Suddenly, King David, who had taken the throne of King Saul, by agreement of the majority of Israel, and had been on the throne for some time, suddenly he called for him. He asked one of his servants, is there anybody still related to Jonathan, his good friend, that I could bless for the sake of my friend Jonathan? Because I made a promise to him that I would be good to his descendants and never do anything bad to them. Can you find out? Is there anybody alive? That guy knew Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, was still alive, and he knew, he found out, discovered where he was living in this place called Lodabar. David says, go get him. So he sends this messenger to go retrieve Mephibosheth. Now, I want you to think of Mephibosheth. He's now an adult. He was the, you could say, heir to the throne, because King Saul, officially it would be the king, then his son would become, and then the son of that one would become the king. That would be the traditional way of transferring power. And it was not uncommon in those king's days that when a new king, if a new king took possession of the throne from another king, that they would kill or imprison everyone related to the former king in order to prevent any threat to his reign. So can you imagine Mephibosheth, who's already miserable, lame, living in a barren place, living in the isolated place, hasn't heard from anybody for years and years and years. Suddenly, someone comes and says, King David wants to see you. Now, I want you to imagine how he was probably shaking in his boots and thinking, I'm either going to prison or I'm going to die. I'm already miserable and my life's about to get worse. Fear gripping him. And I will say that that could be confirmed because if you read the whole story, when he came into David's presence, he told him, don't be afraid. He could see. The poor guy was so afraid. Now, if that fear had led him to say, oh, just let me get dressed, and he fled, or he hid, or did anything to avoid what was definitely change coming his way, he would have missed what God was about to do. Listen to what God was about to do with this man. Change looks scary, but God had a plan, because the reality was this. God was about to bless Mephibosheth beyond his imagination. Instead of killing him or imprisoning him, King David restored all his ancestral land. Everything that had belonged to King Saul, he gave back to Mephibosheth. Not only that, he assigned a manager to manage it, a steward to manage the land. Not only that, he told him, now I want you to move to Jerusalem so you can have a place at the king's table. His life changed in a moment. There was a pivotal moment. Everything was going to change. But if he had allowed fear of change, of what might be coming, what might potentially happen, to cause him to flee from that, he would have missed the most astonishing pivot of his life. Instead, he ended up eating at the king's table. I love this scripture from 2 Samuel 9, verse 11. It says, from that time on, from what time? From that pivotal moment that he came into David's presence and accepted the change he wanted to make. From that time on, Mephibosheth ate regularly at David's table like one of the king's own sons. That is profound. Don't let fear of change rob you of what God wants to do for you in 2018. This is really important, because change may look scary. It may look like I'm about to lose something. And yet God's trying to get you to a better place. You have got to accept that this is the word of the Lord. It's what he did for Mephibosheth. Second thing that God gave me to help us to benefit from this pivotal year of 2018, really important. Number two, do not mourn the loss of the familiar. Wow. Do not mourn the loss of the familiar. When change comes, you're heading in a new direction. Something that has become very familiar, very comfortable, very easy for you may have to go. It may have to be removed out of your life. And there's a reason for that. You'll say, why would God take that? Hey, he has something better, and that is going to prevent you from being able to receive the better if you still are hanging on to the familiar and the comfortable. And this is something that's so common to human nature. I mean, it is human nature to resist change, and it is human nature to cling to what is familiar and comfortable. But in order to develop yourself, in order to have success, in order to make progress in your life, sometimes you just have to be willing to lay down, surrender, completely release everything that's familiar to you. The thing that you've taken comfort in, and it may have been false comfort that you are giving yourself. Something that was false comfort, and the Lord's like, release that. I cannot put in your hands what I want to put in your hands with you holding on to that. You have to take that as a word from the Lord. It's so very important. Sometimes people will not move, physically move, because they're so used to their comfort, place of comfort and familiarity. And by it, they miss out on the blessing God was trying to give them. And I don't mean, it could be moved from a house, it could be moved from a workplace, it could be moved of a different kinds, relationship, whatever. But if you won't move, when God wants you to move, you're going to miss what he's trying to get into your hands, what he's trying to do for you. Do not mourn the loss of what's familiar and comfortable. Just decide, I'm not going to hold on to that in my mind, in my heart, in my emotions, because I want to make room for what God has for me. That you got to look at it that way. Make room. Make room in your heart. Make room in your spirit. Make room in your mind. Everything for what God's trying to put into your hands. Don't mourn the loss of the familiar or cling to it. You could prevent yourself from getting what God's trying to get to you. Listen to this pivotal day that happened in the life of the Israelites that illustrates this to me very beautifully. You remember well, I'm sure, the story of the Israelites wandering in the wilderness for 40 years when God himself is trying to get them to the promised land. Won't discuss all the particulars of that. We know unbelief was part of their problem. Fear was part of their problem. But the day came. Listen to this. Okay, during that 40 years, there was something that became very familiar to them. It wasn't their favorite thing, but it was familiar. It was called manna. They got manna every single morning, 6 days a week, and it was to feed and provide for them. Seventh day, the sixth day, they were supposed to take the double portion, have it for the seventh, so they didn't violate Sabbath rules, okay? So here was this familiar stuff called manna. Your manna may be something completely different than what they experienced it with. Now, without a doubt, it is. But it was familiar to them. They knew it. They knew it came like clockwork every day of the week except the Sabbath day. So they were familiar, 40 years of this. But a pivotal day came. They finally got to the edge of the promised land. Now they're going to walk into the promised land. Remember what the promised land held. Houses they didn't build, vineyards they didn't plant, an abundance of produce, grapes that were so huge they took two men to carry a huge bunch of grapes. That's amazing. There was abundance in the promised land. That's what God had been trying to get them to. But now they had the familiarity of manna, regular delivery system, and now they walk into, it wasn't their favorite, but at least they knew it. You know what I'm saying? It was familiar. They go now into the promised land and they begin to eat from the produce of the land. And listen to this verse from Joshua 5, verse 12. No manna appeared on the day they first ate from the crops of the land, and it was never seen again. So from that time on, a pivotal moment. So from that time on, the Israelites ate from the crops of Canaan. That's profound. From that time on, they ate from the crops of Canaan. In Mephibosheth's story, from that time on, he ate from the king's table. Pivotal moment for Mephibosheth. Pivotal moment for the children of Israel. But I tell you, Mephibosheth had to not fear the change. The children of Israel had to not mourn the loss of the familiar manna. Don't mourn the loss of what has become familiar to you, what has become comfortable to you. In fact, lay it down voluntarily. The sooner you do, the sooner you will get from God what it is he's trying to get into your hands. He was trying to get into their hands abundance, produce so magnificent they'd never seen such a thing in their life. They certainly never saw such a thing in the wilderness, but here was just blessing magnified, multiplied. From that time on, the Israelites ate from the crops of Canaan land. Wow. Awesome. God wants to do that. Don't mourn the loss of the familiar. Be willing to surrender it and everything comfortable to you so that the Lord can bring you into something so far superior, so more blessed than you've experienced thus far in your life. All right, number three, the Lord gave me for us, be vigilant to make decisions that align with God's word. Be vigilant. No. to make decisions that align with God's word, to have an attitude that lines up with God's word, to say words that line up with God's words, to act in accordance with God's word on every single thing, small and great, in your life. If you do, blessing is guaranteed to you. Guaranteed. Guaranteed. Let me give you an amazing example. One of my favorite Bible characters is Joseph, because of his incredible, like, integrity of heart, how he's able to keep his heart pure after being betrayed by his own family members, sold as a slave, mistreated, brought in shackles to Egypt. Then the prince, this guy's a prince. I mean, he was a prince. Joseph was a prince in his setting. And now he's going to be a slave to an Egyptian, basically the captain of the guard. Potiphar was the captain of the guard for Pharaoh, so high-ranking officer for Pharaoh. But they were unbelievers. They worshipped idols. Joseph knew the one true God. He knew the one true God. And so now he's thrown into this completely idolatrous culture and has to become a slave to these people who worship idols. And yet somehow Joseph kept his heart pure in the middle of all that. He kept himself, you could say, in alignment with God and the ways of God. He did not allow himself to become bitter, even though he'd been betrayed, even though he could have been resentful and angry at the people who had shackled him and the people who are now making him work for them. He did not. He had a good attitude. And how do I know? Let me tell you how I know he had a good attitude. It says in the Word of God that Joseph found favor in Potiphar's sight and became his personal servant. So he kept getting promoted by this man named Potiphar. Let me tell you, someone who's a leader will never pick somebody with a bad attitude to be his personal assistant. Never. He will never pick somebody with a chip on his shoulder and promote him. He will never take somebody who has an attitude, who's angry, who's bitter, who's resentful, who just seething bitterness. You'll never promote that person. You'll have him out in the field where you don't have to look at him. Instead, Potiphar brought him close. Potiphar promoted him. He made him steward over his house. Everything we see about Joseph's life shows us he kept his heart pure before the Lord despite the pain of his situation. He kept himself in alignment with the Lord. So what happened? What is the result of him keeping himself in alignment with the Lord? Attitude and action and words. What's the result? Blessing, promotion, increase, being lifted up. All of those things, absolute guaranteed. Now look at Potiphar. Listen to this. Potiphar unwittingly came into alignment with God's will. Unwittingly. By promoting God's man. That was God's will. So he promotes God's man. And what happens to him? Listen to this. So Joseph, Genesis 39, 4 through 6. So Joseph found favor in Potiphar's sight and became his personal servant. And he made him overseer over his house. And all that he owned, he put in his charge. So we see the blessing on Joseph from keeping in alignment with the Lord. Now, here's Potiphar, who lines up with God by promoting God's man. It came about that from the time that he made him overseer in his house and over all he owned, the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house on account of Joseph. Thus, the Lord's blessing was upon all that he owned, in the house and in the field. So he left everything he owned in Joseph's charge, and with him there, he did not concern himself with anything except the food which he ate. So two men keep coming to alignment with God's will, God's plan, one unwittingly because he doesn't even know God, but he gets himself, he's smart enough to see God's blessing on him. So he brings him close, promotes him, and since he brought him close, blessing came upon him because of Joseph. So we see blessing coming upon other people for the one who believes God. So here's the thing. If you're vigilant to make sure that what you're doing, how you're talking, how you're thinking, how your attitude is toward others, how you respond and react to other people who don't necessarily do the right thing, which is everywhere we go, we will find people not doing the right thing and treating us in a way perhaps that's not desirable or pleasant, maybe even ungodly and unkind. That's what happened to Joseph, but he kept himself in alignment with the Lord. He didn't let bitterness overtake his heart. He didn't become murderous in his heart. I'd like to take out my own brothers. He could have had that easily. They were going to kill him. Then they decided money was better and they sold him. So he could have felt like, when I get back there, I'm going to kill them all. He could have had that. But Jesus said, if you have even the hate in your heart, you're a murderer. So he kept himself out of that whole arena, kept his heart pure before God, had a good attitude, became a servant, just served well. He ends up promotion, blessing, success. The scripture tells us, though he was a slave, Joseph was a prosperous man. How is that possible? He kept himself, his attitude, his actions, his words, his heart, everything in alignment with the Lord. Blessing came on his life. In the hardest time of his life, blessing came to him. Potiphar lines up with God's will, unknowingly, but he does. He gets blessing. You know what? If we are very vigilant this year to make decisions that align with God's word and God's will for your life, guaranteed blessing. Guaranteed. You know, we struggle sometimes. I know God wants me to forgive that person, but I am so mad at them. Really? You're only robbing yourself. That's all you're going to do. You're just robbing yourself. God cannot get close to you with blessing. He's waiting for you to ditch that attitude. Change your heart. Let God help you. Ask God for grace. Hey, there are tough times that we deal with people who are unkind, ungodly, even our own family members. We still got to love them. We have no other, there's no other course for us. If we're going to walk with God, God is love and he's called us to love the unlovely, unlovable, and the people who don't love us. He did it. He will give us the grace to do it if we ask him. We have no other course we can take. But if we take it, guaranteed blessing. Isn't that amazing? Guaranteed blessing. God wants to do something magnificent for you this year. Pivotal for you this year. Change. Awesome, beautiful, fantastic change that ends up giving you the very desires of your heart that you have longed for years. But we have got to be vigilant to make sure we're in alignment with the Lord on all these areas. Relationally, decision making, money, attitude toward people, everything. If we do it, guaranteed blessing. And not only for yourself. You know, I like this, the way God is. He'll bless other people for your sake. That is so sweet. That is so sweet. He'll bless your business that you're working in for your sake. He'll bless their business because you're there. Because he likes you. Because you're his person. So he's going to bless that business, like Potiphar's house. He wasn't even a believer, but he blessed Potiphar's house because of Joseph. He'll bless the business you're involved in because of you. That's astonishing, but that's God's amazing way. I like it. It's awesome. And the thing is, in Potiphar and Joseph's case, Potiphar knew it. He got a revelation that he was getting blessed because of Joseph's God. That is an interesting thing. And I'm telling you, if you work for someone else or you're involved in the business of someone else, God wants you to be so blessed, and they end up blessed, and that they end up thinking, I think it's because of you that I'm getting all this blessing. God wants that because it's one of the ways God demonstrates his amazingness in the earth among unbelievers. So pray for that. Pray for the business you work in. Pray for them to be blessed. Don't curse them. Bless them. Don't complain about them. Bless them. Because I tell you, God wants to show himself amazing to unbelievers through your life, through the blessing on your life. All right, number four. This one is very important. Fourth, last, and critical. Pivotal year. God wants to make it pivotal for you. He wants you to end up in a direction that is heading toward just receiving those desires of your heart coming to pass. But here's something that will be absolutely essential for that to come to pass. Number four, remove every distraction that keeps you from hearing God's voice so that you don't miss the pivotal moments that God's trying to give you direction in this 2018. Remove every distraction. I've come to the conclusion that Satan, you know, he has many devices. The scripture tells us, don't be ignorant of his devices, because he's trying to take you down with different devices. Some people he sends, you know, people to try to get a person into sin. That's one device. Doesn't work on everybody, though, so he has to come up with other things. Let me tell you one of the ones that I've observed. There's a spirit of distraction that is so permeated the atmosphere, the airwaves in this generation, like I have never seen. I mean, I've lived long enough to see multiple generations, never seen this level. I would say Satan's employing an innocent looking device to keep Christians distant from God. Okay, he's not going to send some person to try to get you into XYZ sin. So instead, he's just going to do something sneaky that doesn't look harmful, that doesn't look bad, doesn't look sinful. It's a spirit of distraction. It'll keep people distant from God, weak in their faith, shallow in their spirituality, and absolutely prayerless. How does it work? It works like this. With the electronic media bombarding us like never before, minute by minute, there is very little quiet time, very little quiet time in a 24-hour period, because you're constantly inundated with message, notifications, beeps and rings. You have another Facebook message. You have an Instagram post. You have this. There's an email. Continuous. You're laying in bed at night. The thing's making sounds because it tells you, oh, quick, grab the phone. It's almost, you know, midnight, no big deal. Read. Distraction continuously. The scripture tells us, be still and know that I'm God. In the closet, spend time in prayer. In that quiet place, Jesus went away onto the mountain at night where there's nobody distracting him, saying, Jesus, Jesus, I need you. No, quiet. He would go away because he knew he needed quiet and stillness. Listen, we are being bombarded. That is the truth. And it's so easy to get swept up into it. And you're thinking, oh, I got to know about my friend. They posted a prayer request, blah, blah, blah. You know what? If we don't fast the media for periods of time so that you have quiet time, the devil will distract you 24 hours a day with social media, with emails, with every type of thing that doesn't look harmful, wicked, sinful, or bad. But it's a device of the devil. Spirit of distraction, trying to suck you in so that you never have 5 minutes to contemplate what's God saying. And people say, I can't hear God, I don't hear God. Well, that's because you don't have 1 second free of other input. He has no hello. He has no, he's blocked out by the beeps and the rings and the posts and the emails. And I know myself. I have fight that myself. So I'm telling you just honestly. You have to either remove yourself from social media. Some people need to completely remove themselves because it has such a grip. Or fast, meaning you have complete block out of it for periods of time, totally dedicated to listening for the voice of God. If you don't, how will you ever hear God's voice? How will you ever get direction? You're in the pivotal, we're in a pivotal season. We're in that pivotal time. God wants to say, turn right. You could miss the signal. He's got GPS, God positioning system. He wants to give you the position that you should be in and the move that you should be making and the direction you should be turning. But you've got all kinds of other things telling you X, Y, and Z. Listen, I found this to be something very alarming to myself when I started realizing how much time in my day was being like vacuumed out by all this electronic stuff. And this is something that we have to really consider, prayerfully ask God, what do you want me to do? Do you want me to get off Facebook? Then do it. You want me to get off this, get off that? Just say it. You want me to turn off my phone from this hour to that hour? I will do it, Lord. You know, our worship leader said something very profound while he was leading worship. He said, what is it that you know you're supposed to be doing, or what God's been telling you to do, and you've been ignoring it or avoiding it or just not said yes to it? Hey, I think the distraction spirit and what God's trying to do to resolve that issue is a word for us that God wants you to say, yes, I will stop for this. I will stop so that I can hear your voice. I will stop filling my ears continuously 24 hours a day so that I can hear you, not somebody else's input. I want your input. I want to hear what you're saying. I don't want to miss the pivotal turn you want me to make so I can receive the desire of my heart come to pass this year. He is trying to do this for us, but I'm telling you, this is a wicked thing that looks very innocent. It's true. I'm telling you, it's a spirit of distraction sent to just blind us, make us deaf spiritually, make us prayerless. You have time to pray. You're reading a million articles and this and that. Listen, there's lots of what I would consider unedifying, unbiblical, and completely worthless news being pushed out constantly to grab people's attention that we need to stop looking at. It may not be pornography you're looking at. You could just be looking at certain political things all the time. Look, you can get discouraged watching that stuff, really. Think the whole world's going to hell. The whole world is not going to hell. Jesus is still Jesus. He's saving people. He's drawing people. But I don't want to be the worthless person who had no part in the end time harvest because I was watching my Facebook every minute. I don't want that. I want to be the person God can use. But you have to have your spiritual ears open. You have to have a spirit of prayer. You have to have a heart for people so that you're willing to put that things aside so you can hear him say, hey, go over into that 7-Eleven. There's somebody I want you to talk to. Well, how would you ever hear that? It requires a dedication of having your spirit open, ready, and very carefully listening. But I'm telling you, we can fill ourselves with all kinds of other things, and they're not bad things, but they're just distracting you and they're robbing you. And I'm telling you, God is trying to do something amazing. I will end with this because this is what the Lord gave me. The Lord's trying to raise up a remnant that are like the sons of Issachar. And you know what? There's only one little scripture about the sons of Issachar, and it's in the part where King David was about to be made king in Hebron, and all the different tribes were coming, and they were listing how many from each tribe came to make David king after the death of Saul. And it makes this comment about the sons of Issachar. It said, of the sons of Issachar, here's who came to make David king. Men who understood the times. Men who understood the times with knowledge of what Israel should do. So men who had discernment, they had understanding of what was happening in the spirit, in that time. And they had revelation and knowledge of what should be done, what was right to do. I love that. Men who understood the times with knowledge of what Israel should do. No other tribe, as is described in that entire passage in 1 Chronicles chapter 12, where they list out these guys, so many from Zebulun, so many from this one. Nobody had this said about them. These were men who understood the times with knowledge of what Israel should do. I'm telling you, God's calling us to be like the sons of Issachar, to have that understanding of what's happening. We're not so distracted by every little garbage sent out by this political group and that political group and these people, fake news people, and people who claim they aren't the fake news, and all of it pushing out constantly material for you to devour so that you never think about what is God saying. I know what all these other people are saying. I want to know what God is saying. I'm going to shut down listening to these people and go to the Word, spend time in prayer, worship, and hear from heaven. And let us be those people who understand the times, not because we read every political political website out there, but because we hear from God and because we read the Word of God and who have knowledge of what Israel should do, we have inside information because the Spirit of God told you this is what's going to happen. And this is what you need to do before that happens. And this is the direction you need to be in when that happens. You need to be here. And that God is more than happy to give us. But I'm telling you, we have got to remove distraction and put ourselves in alignment with the Lord, not fear the change that's coming, and not be afraid or mourning losing what's comfortable. Because it's a new, I'm telling you, this is a new and pivotal year. And there's going to be some intense change happening in our lives and in this country, I believe, and in this world. But we'll be ready. Don't be distracted. Become a son of Issachar and know the times. And have knowledge from heaven of what we should do. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you that you have given us this word of what a pivotal year it is. It's an important year that's going to determine the development and success of things we have longed for and desired. And you've said, Lord, you're going to give us the desires of our hearts, the things you've placed in our hearts and we have longed for and prayed for years that we haven't seen yet come to pass. You said we are going to see them come to pass this year. And I thank you for that. God, I ask you to give us grace. We need grace, Lord. We need your power to not fear the changes that are coming and to not mourn the loss of what's familiar and to be vigilant, Lord God, make decisions that align with your word and Lord, to remove every distraction that keeps us from hearing your voice because we don't want to miss the pivotal moments and the pivotal direction that you want to give to us so we're in the right place at the right time because we got the right word. And so we just commit this to you and ask you for great grace for all of us. And Lord, we embrace what you're going to do and we thank you for it and we rejoice to see it. In Jesus' name, amen.